Friends, welcome to this, the day that we celebrate the ascension of Jesus as he went up into the clouds in front of his disciples. Can you imagine? What glory. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in the call to worship litany for today. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, a new world has broken into ours. A world in which justice does come for the poor, freedom comes for the prisoners, and healing for the sick. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, a new community has been formed, a community that loves and cares for all members, a family that welcomes all who are abandoned and rejected, a place where all find a place of belonging. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, a new creation has begun. All that was distorted is being restored. All that is corrupted is being renewed. All that was broken is being made whole. Because Jesus ascended and sits at the right hand of God, God's new world has begun. Friends, Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and save the lost, to seek and save you and me. Praise be to God. And let's take some time to prepare our hearts for the rest of the service.
Forever he will be.
Let us pray. Father, O God Most High, who dwells in the highest of heavens, we praise you. Father, O Lord Most Exalted, beyond our thoughts and imaginations, we praise you. We celebrate the victory of your Son who has overcome death and saved us from the power of sin. We rejoice in his exaltation. Our great high priest has gone before, has entered into the Holy of Holies, and has opened up a way for us to follow. In his name, we too would enter into your eternal presence, for he is our priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. To him be all praise, together with you, O Father, and the Holy Spirit, one Lord, the same in every age. Amen and amen. Please join with me in the prayer of confession for today. We come, O Lord, on this day of glory to confess our lack of trust. While we claim to celebrate your ascension, the way we live often proclaims our lack of faith in your power to deal with the world. While we sing of your lordship over all creation, we have too often acted as though you are powerless in the face of today's challenges. Help us to live with renewed confidence in you and in the power of your presence today. Even more, help us to live with deep hope and steadfast assurance of your promise of life with you forever. Amen.
Friends, this is the good news that we have to declare. God leads us out of the shadows to walk in the light of Christ. This is the word that we have heard. Our faithful God forgives our sins and raises us to new life. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. Jesus is taken up to heaven. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus said to them, the times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood before them and said, Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven. Then the apostles went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is about half a mile away from the city. They entered the city and went up to the room where they were staying. Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Patriot, and Judas, son of James. They gathered frequently to pray as a group, together with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm sure that all of you are people who keep a copy of the church year calendar, the liturgical calendar, close at hand so that you know what every day is in that calendar. And if you are a person who does that and who follows the liturgical calendar, you will know that today is actually the last Sunday in our 7-week-long season of Easter. You'll also know that just this last Thursday was the day we mark as Ascension Day, the day Jesus appeared to his disciples for the final time and then, in front of their eyes, was dramatically taken up into heaven. And you'll definitely know that next Sunday is Pentecost, the day that we celebrate the arrival of the Holy Spirit in a big, big way. So today, tucked between Ascension Day and Pentecost, well, today is a bit of a peculiar day. At first glance, it could seem to be a bit of a throwaway, just a day in which nothing of particular great importance happens. Like so much of life, it's an ordinary day. An ordinary day that happens to fall between two rather spectacular events. And I actually think that's what makes today quite interesting for us, because it shows us what discipleship looks like in these in-between times that make up so much of life. If you think about it, we are actually people who find ourselves living in an extended in-between time with God. We are living after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, but before his work reaches its culmination. We acknowledge together in our call to worship today that we do live in a time when we get to see glimmers of God's promised life. But we also know that they're still just glimmers, aren't they? There's a long way to go before everything is set right and life reaches its full potential. So by virtue of this, we find ourselves trying to figure out how to be faithful and to follow Jesus as we wait for that promised life to come. So while they're not flashy, days like the ones that we've heard about today, the days when we see Jesus' followers living between big events, these days are really relevant to us, because they teach us how to live faithfully in this in-between time that we're living in. Well, our reading today started at verse 6, as we heard. But it actually would have been helpful if we'd included the three verses before that. They have some important details for us. So before we go any further, I just want to read those to you. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So here we find Jesus' first disciples 6 weeks after his resurrection. They had gathered together with him to share a meal and to hear what would end up being his final instructions. Before he ascended, he gave them very specific directions about what to do next. He told them not to leave Jerusalem and go back to their homes, but instead to stay there and to wait there for the gift God the Father was about to bestow, a gift that we now know was the Holy Spirit who was coming to live with and within them. Well, as expected, they didn't really understand his cryptic remarks, but they did get from them that something important was coming. And so they asked what probably would have been a quite a logical question. If Jesus was finally going to establish his kingdom in Israel and return them to freedom. So he kind of answered them. He told them not to worry about when God's kingdom was going to come, but to wait for the Holy Spirit, who was going to empower them to tell the rest of the world about Jesus. And then he ascended. And after absorbing that spectacle, they did what he'd told them to do. They returned to Jerusalem, to where they had stayed together, and they spent their in-between time waiting and praying. Now, the temptation for us today is to start to look ahead, to anticipate next week's grand celebration of Pentecost. But we're going to resist that temptation today, because today's reading is fascinating and it's instructive, especially if we pay attention to how the disciples spent this time. What they did can actually guide us as we live now in our own extended in-between time. Now, at the risk of saying something that probably seems ridiculously obvious, the first thing for us to learn from their example is that they did what Jesus told them to do. He told them to stay in Jerusalem and wait, and that's exactly what they did. So we need to do the same. We need to do whatever Jesus is telling us to do. The challenge with that is knowing what it is. We need to be able to discern, to hear what Jesus is saying to us, which is, as we all know, sometimes easier said than done. Well, thank goodness Jesus taught his disciples well, because here again, what they actually did can guide us. Luke tells us that they went back to Jerusalem, back to the place they'd been staying. And he gives us a whole list of who was there. Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, not Iscariot, Judas the son of James. All 11 of the remaining original disciples, plus some unnamed women, and Jesus' own family, his mother Mary and his brothers, they were all there. They were all together. So that is the first important thing for us to remember as we wait for what Jesus might tell us to do next. It seems that it is important for us to stay together like they did. And honestly, that makes some sense to me, because we are the people that Jesus has called together to be the community of faith known as St. Stephen's. By design, Christians are meant to live as part of a community of disciples. The first disciples learned this in those 3 years they spent with Jesus. So it would have made sense to them that if their mission with him was going to continue, it would do so as they were together in community. And it's the same for us. Our mission continues in community with those Jesus has called us together with each other. So first, as we listen for his leading, we do that together. We listen for him together. We discern what we're hearing about how that might be him leading us together. And we follow together. This does not just fall to a select few. It falls to all of us. And it happens amongst us as we are together. For me, this really central aspect of discipleship was actually proven during those dark, lonely days of the pandemic. One of the most difficult things about that time was trying to figure out how to hear God and how to discern God's leading when we couldn't be together to get that sense of him together. It was hard because it's really not the way Jesus designed this to work. Communities are meant to be together. So like those first followers, if we want to follow Jesus' lead, we need to stay together. And then we need to do what they did. They prayed and they waited. Luke tells us that they were constantly in prayer. Well, it seems that if we are truly seeking God, then we actually need to be communicating with him, right? We need to be sharing our hearts with him, going to him with our needs and our hopes and our fears, talking to him regularly, and then listening. Listening for how he might be sharing his heart with us. Prayer is all about communicating and communing with God. And good communication, as we all know, it involves both talking and listening. As a community, we talk and we tell and we ask, but we also leave time and space to hear or to sense what God might want us to know, what he might be saying to us. So we stay together and we pray together. And finally, still following their example, we wait together. We surrender our need to be in control of what happens or when it happens. And we wait, and we watch, and we listen together for how we sense God might be leading us. And as we do that, we are often given the gift of actually being able to see God move in some way. Things happen, things that often surprise us, things that kind of seem to point us in a direction. It's actually often the timing of those things that convinces us that God is actually behind what's going on. God is moving and guiding us through those things. So like those first disciples, we wait, attentive to God, expecting that he is with us and that he will lead us. Now, I know that many of you have stories of praying and waiting as you have watched for God's leading in your own lives. I love hearing those stories. We all do. It is really helpful for us to share our stories of this with each other, because hearing them helps us all to learn to recognize God moving amongst us and to expect to see those same kinds of things happening for us as we wait. As we share our stories with each other, the collective faith of our community actually deepens. And that's also another really important part, a really important reason that we follow Jesus together, to have our faith grow together. So in these in-between times that we are living in, we follow the examples of these first followers. We stay together, and we pray, and we wait. And before very long, as we do, we'll get to see God move in some way or hear God speak. And then together, we'll be able to discern what God is calling us to do next. Amen.
Crown him with many crowns. Loving God, we are grateful for the green of our land, as well as the sound of songbirds chirping at this time of year. In the midst of that, presently over 2,000 people in Alberta and British Columbia are struggling with wildfires and flooding. We pray that the small groups of people whose first language is not English, who are forced to move because of wildfire, reach safe places to stay. May all service providers in both provinces be respectful of all the folk who need both safe places to live, and may there be sufficient food and housing for everyone. Fear and spiritual chaos has an enormous impact on those who are unable to fend easily for themselves. We pray that they be given spiritual and physical protection. We ask that the wind change direction in such a way that the wildfires die out and that the rain shows up in abundance. We pray for all people who are struggling with one burden or another, for the families that are dealing with conflict, that they shift to respectful listening on both ends, such that there be new harmony and peace. Others are struggling with addiction of various kinds. We pray that they open their hearts to new, healthy habits, and that their partners be offered new hope in their situation. We pray for the lonely and those who mourn, that they be comforted with your presence through soothing, joyous music, restful reading, peaceful walks, and inexplicable peace. For those recovering from surgery, we ask that they heal well and quickly. We pray for all church congregations that they be given a new vision of serving, serving you as well as hope and trust for the future, however it plays out. And we ask that in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we give thanks for all of the ways that you have given to the life and work of the church this week, I invite you to pray with me to dedicate all of these gifts to God. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty. All that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours, and you rule over all. So receive these offerings, Lord, our tangible expressions of love and gratitude. Transform them into a source of life for many, so that your kingdom may grow in the hearts of all. In the name of Jesus. Amen. People of God, we are sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit to be God's witnesses, to proclaim good news to everyone we meet, to share the love that God has lavished on us in Jesus Christ. So go from here in the power and in the strength of God to bear witness to all that you have seen and experienced. And as you go, May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.
Ever thought that the world has kind of lost its way? Yeah, crazy as it seems, yeah, I know it's gonna be okay, okay.
It doesn't scare me, it's temporary, there's something better we've got forever.
And it won't be long, cause I know our help is on the way, the way.
So keep your head up. No, don't you give up.
No, 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 no.
Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And when the world gets complicated, we're gonna keep on celebrating. Cause we know, yeah, we know. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back.
We gotta stay awake cause nobody knows the day or time. No, the trumpet's gonna blow.
Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back.